Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
It's been more than 3 decades since Boston erupted in violence after a federal judge ordered city schools desegregated in 1974, a painful period in the city's history. A local activist hopes to help heal the wounds that remain among Bostonians black and white by creating a post-apartheid-style Truth and Reconciliation Commission. But as WBUR's Bianca Vasquez-Tonis reports, the idea is getting a cool reception.
For Regina Williams, 1974 is the year she went to war. She was in the first wave of black students bused to all-white South Boston High School.
You had to worry about being jumped in the hallways, being snatched in the bathrooms. The teachers were so tense that they couldn't even teach.
And leaving school was worse.
When we get on the bus, you had families on top of their roofs with, I don't know if they were pellet guns, but they were shotguns, literally pointed at the bus, and people calling you all these names.
After about 3 weeks of this, Williams gave up. She was so scared she stopped going to school. Instead, she and her friends hung out at home together. Williams got pregnant. She didn't go back to finish high school until she was in her 20s. Williams doesn't blame the people who threw rocks or stood on top of their houses with guns. She says they were victims just like she was. Instead, she points to the people who were in charge at the time.
Why did it happen? I want to know, what were they trying to... I know they wanted equal education, but that... I mean...
Do you feel like that's what they achieved?
I feel that the school system has failed me. I feel that it has failed my child. And if things doesn't change, it's going to fail my grandchildren as well.
Williams, now 50, is doing better. She's studying for her master's in social work. But her lingering cynicism worries Horace Small. The Jamaica Plain activist says it prevents people, particularly black families, from getting involved.
After 37 years, we have to recognize that something is wrong. Something went wrong. And that, you know, and we need to identify what that is so that folks can go forward with their lives, so we can improve our communities, so we can make better communities, so that people will feel more of a connection to it.
With funding from a New York foundation, Small hopes to create what he calls a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, like South Africa did after apartheid. He hopes to address the damage done to everyone, black and white. In Boston, the challenge will be in convincing people they should talk about something that happened in 1974. The initial signs aren't good.
Oh, brother, Bobby, I don't know. I don't see that there's any value in it.
William Billy Bolger was a state senator representing South Boston in 1974. He was a strong opponent of busing. According to him, people don't need catharsis. But then, he can't seem to stop talking about it.
It was a bad idea. And the only people who were for it were people who were unaffected by it. I mean, the judge would even say things like, we've got to tough this out. And then, of course, you'd have crazy people, by the way, on both sides of the aisle, as we say these days, making all kinds of foolish utterances. And the judges say, we'll see, we're going to tough this out, as the poor guy who got on the train each night to go back to Wellesley.
The judge was Arthur Garrity. He died in 1999. When he gave the order to desegregate Boston public schools, it was up to state and local officials to carry them out. At the time, Charles Glenn was in charge of desegregation for the state. He decided which students, including Regina Williams, would go where.
I think we did some things right and some things wrong back in 74, 75, but, you know, I think going back and revisiting it at this point is probably not what we need to do.
Glenn now teaches education at Boston University. He says he doesn't want to revisit the busing era, but listen to what he says next.
It's interesting to note, by the way, that Springfield implemented desegregation just as comprehensively the same year and had no conflict at all. Everything went smoothly because the elected officials and the school system behaved in an honorable way. In Boston, you had all that grandstanding and so forth that went on, and that's what really really caused all the conflict.
Glenn says there are more pressing issues to worry about now. He doesn't buy the idea that Bostonians are suffering from some kind of collective post-traumatic stress disorder. Neither does Joy Salesman Oliver. She was a black student during desegregation in Boston public schools, and now she works for the same school system as a principal.
Well, I think people are suffering from post-traumatic stress from being shot at, or from having their kids not be safe on the street. I think that money would be better used bringing some truth and reconciliation to those groups.
Salesman Oliver acknowledges the busing crisis was a hard time, but she doesn't think anyone would want to relive it. That attitude doesn't surprise Horace Small, who runs the Union of Minority Neighborhoods. He says the very fact that people don't want to talk about this means they probably should.
Mature adults, responsible adults, have a responsibility to go back and to revisit the past. Because if we can address that, if we can find some level of analysis that there was a cause and effect to the way things are today, and that folks need something from it, whatever that is, an apology, whatever the case may be, then to help folks go forwards, communities go forwards, activism go forward, then we need to do that.
Small says this project will likely take at least 3 years. He expects to meet heavy resistance to talking about busing. But if early reaction is any indication, there seems to be a lot to reconcile. For WBUR, I'm Bianca Vasquez-Tonis.
To see images from the 1970s busing crisis in Boston, visit our website, wbur.org.